785 in the Record Hymn Book. Yes, I know.
Certainly.
feel discouraged and shadows come, don't be lonely. Jesus is your portion. And just like his eye is on the sparrow, his eye is on you too.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye
Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And starting at verse 32. Last Sunday night, Kathy, if you want to just pause here for just a moment. 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days. And I want to kind of talk about the former days that the writer of Hebrews is talking about to the readers of the book of Hebrews. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companion of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And let me just take a few minutes on this here tonight, and then I'll let you guys go, because it's been a long day. Not only maybe for you, but even for your pastor, all right? But call to remembrance the former days. The writer has been exhorting those who are thinking of turning away from Christianity to rethink their position by establishing how much better Jesus Christ is than the Old Testament and the law, and how much he fulfills everything. Go to chapter 10 and just look at verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So see, he's exhorting those who are thinking of turning away from Christianity to rethink their position, and even to remind them of the former days. And I think he wants them to remember the persecution they endured for converting to Christianity in the first place, and for the great hope that was given unto them. Now, it's a little bit difficult, and I'm just going to say this to you. I think it's a little difficult in this passage of Scripture here to differentiate between the readers of Hebrews as far as those who are truly born again, saved, and those who are thinking about getting saved, have the information, they've been enlightened and so forth, and may have even gone along with Christianity to a certain extent, and even experienced some of the results of being saved, but not actually being saved yet, and thinking about returning back to Judaism, turning back to the law of Moses, turning back to the temple worship, which still was in place at the time this was written. I keep reminding you about that, because I think we need to keep in mind that the temple and all that worship and everything is still very much in vogue, in place, and they could go right back to it and not suffer any persecution or anything for it at all. They could fit right in. But if they stay faithful to Christianity, wow. Some of them had already paid a little bit of a price of that. Others who were truly saved did experience it and continue to experience it and will throughout this whole life until we get to heaven. And that's what he says about here at the end of verse 34, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So Paul is referring to both professors and possessors in these verses. You get a hold of what I mean there when I say professors and possessors. Possessors are those who are truly born again. They possess eternal life, and they have the great hope of heaven. Professors are making an outward profession of something that may not necessarily be true inside. So we can only give them the title of professor. Possessors not only possess, but they profess as well. They profess and they possess something. the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to notice the possessors first here in our passage. And he says of them, I want to call you to remembrance the former days. Referring back to the very first time they heard the message of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he says, in which, after ye were illuminated, after they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. And born again believers, possessors, do that. It happens. In one way or another, it is going to be happening to you. The day you get saved, and you can think back to the former days when you first trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Didn't you realize that you were in a great fight of afflictions? And things were no longer going to be same as they were before you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I'm not trying to scare you from having done that or try to even make you change your mind about it. It's just the truth of the matter. That we endure a great fight of afflictions. And then in verse 33, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. You know, in the early church age, when a Jew would get saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and all the rest of their family and their acquaintances, and of course those who still would go to the temple to worship, would look down upon them for turning their back on all of that heritage that they have and trusting in this Jesus of Nazareth only for their personal salvation. It caused them to be a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companion of them that were so used. You know, one blessed thing about getting saved is, and hopefully it is something that comes true in your heart and life, you become a companion with others who are going through the same thing. And you know, that is why in chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. You need to find yourself among the fellowship of those who know the Lord as their personal Savior, and become companions with those who are so used. They are gazing stocks too. They are enduring great fight of afflictions as well. And you know, together we can encourage each other, exhort each other to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And how important it is, just simply put, to go to church and to be in fellowship with the saints. So I would encourage you, don't ever downplay the importance of getting out to the meetings and fellowshipping with the believers. You need this as well as your companions need it too. We're companions in this thing. You know, the word fellowship has always been used, and it's the way you can think of that word fellowship is fellows in the same ship, right? Fellows in the same ship. That's fellowship. And sometimes that ship is going through stormy weather. Sometimes we've got calm weather, and we can thank God for that. But a lot of times it's stormy weather. And our song tonight, till the storm passes by, right? And we know that the Lord is with us. His eye is on the sparrow. No matter what we're going through, he's watching over us. And we need each other, and we're companions together in this fight of afflictions that we do. So the possessors, the saved people, they endure a great fight of affliction. They become a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions. And the word afflictions has the idea of pressure. How about it? Do you ever feel the pressure of being a born-again, Bible-believing Christian in this world? And this world doesn't appreciate you. They don't like what you believe. And there's pressure and affliction upon you. And another thing too, verse 34, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds. They watched their preacher go to jail. And they watched that take place, and they were watching. They had compassion of him in his bonds. The Philippians sent money to him. They sent Epaphroditus to minister to Paul's needs while he was in prison. And that is kind of the thing he's talking about. He had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. There's another thing too. When you get saved, you find out that what you once thought you owned and belonged to you no longer belongs to you, but it belongs to the Lord. It's His. And many times the Christian gives up the things of this world for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, you never lose out when you willingly give and willingly allow your goods to be spoiled for the cause of Christ. You're never going to lose out on that. Now, I'm not going to go into talking about, you know, if you do this, you'll get this from the Lord and all kinds of things like that. But the truth of the matter is, this world is not my home. And the gold and silver of this world, if I hoard it all together, what good is that going to do? I need to lay up treasure in heaven. And that's what it says here in verse 34. Knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. These possessors who trusted Christ as Savior went through all this fight of afflictions and gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, watched their preacher go to jail, saw their goods being spoiled, gave it all up that they might have treasure in heaven. And one of these days, folks, we're going to see the reality of this. So I would say just keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. As possessors of salvation in Jesus Christ, you give it all up for treasures in heaven. And in heaven, you have a better, there's that word again, a better and an enduring substance. If you go back to the temple worship, are you going to have a better substance? That's just a shadow, as Brother Ralph prayed in his prayer this evening. It's just a shadow of the real thing. You have a better substance in Christ Jesus and an enduring substance. It has, and we've already read how that in the Old Testament, it even says that God's going to establish a new covenant with the nation of Israel. And that spills over to us Gentiles as well in the church age through Jesus Christ. The old is going to be, and at this point, is done away. The new is an enduring substance. It will never wear out. The things of Christ, the beauty of Christ, the complete work of Christ, the redeeming work of Christ, the blood of Christ, the Word of God is an enduring substance that will never wear out. It'll never wear out. It liveth and abideth forever. I hope that that helps you as you think about these things. We'll talk about the professors next week when we talk about them in their former days, the professors, people who are just professing but haven't possessed yet. Tonight we spoke mostly about those who possess it. And you'll see as we continue through this chapter at the very end, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for what you did to us the day we trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Things have changed completely. Oh, there's been a lot of afflictions and reproaches. We've become a gazing stock many times. But Lord, we have a treasure in heaven which abides forever. It endures forever. And it has substance to it. It has reality to it. And we thank you for it. Bless these people as they go their way. Help us to live for Jesus this week and be a testimony for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Now, what's the song? Number?
Number one.
All right, come on up here, Ralph, and lead it. Yep. In closing, we'll sing that. and go home.